So we're here on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis, towards the bottom of the Omud. We were talking about the Machlokas regarding Chibur Kli, Agad Kli, whether it's considered a Chibur, it's not considered a Chibur. And Chizkiah is of the opinion it's not considered a Chibur. And therefore those Peros that went out of the Skupa into Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Yochai for, even though they're inside a Kli, which is not yet left Rosh Hashanah Yochai. Masiv Rabibi Barabaye. So let's just see where we're up to. If you count up from the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. We're going to have the following. Agonev. Just 1 second. Kiss B'Shabbos. Agonev Kiss B'Shabbos means that he's in a rishus of a private person, he's stealing his wallet, and he picks up the wallet. That's agbah. And the halacha is that a ganov can implement a kinyan gzela, kinyan gneva, in the base bialim through hagbah. Hagbah is meaningful, and he not only lifted up his friend's arnaki in order to steal it, but he also took it out in rishus harab on Shabbos. Chayev. In other words, we don't apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi Minei because there's no simultaneity here. Shekvar Nischayev Begneva Kodem Shiyovel Lidei Yisur Shabbos. When he picked up the Arnaki in the Rishus Bailim, he already incurred a Chiyuv Gneva, and the Chiyuv Shabbos is only going to be incurred when he goes out to Rishus Harav. So that's called Bezecher Zeh. However, the Brisa continues, Hoya Megarer V'yotze. Now we're talking about a Kinyan Meshicha. We're not talking about a Kinyan Agbah. He actually drags the wallet or the pocketbook on the ground, takes it out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. In this case, there's absolute simultaneity. Potur Share Be'isu Gnei Isu K'Shabbos Boim Kechot. There's a synchronization between the Chiyuv Gneva, which he will incur when he leaves, when he takes the object out of the Rishus of the Bailim, and the Isur Shabbos when he enters into a Rishus HaRab. So the Kinyan of the Ganav and the Chiv Shabbos are Boim Ki Achas, and therefore we apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rab Mineh. So Gemara now asks a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. E Salka Daitik according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Agad Kli Shmei Eged, that there is a chibur to the kli, and therefore even in the seifa, in the case of gor v'yotze, is kadim le isur gneva le isur shabbos. In other words, let's say for example there's money, coins inside this wallet. So at what moment in time is he kone the mos, and at what moment in time is he chayfo tsa on these mos? He's kona the most for his gneva immediately when he removes part of the kiss from the base bialim. Because at that point he could have easily taken all the money out of the kiss. Let's say the case is that this wallet is facing outwards, you know, towards the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So at that moment he's able to take the mos out. But the Hotzah Shabbos, he's not going to be chayv according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if some of the mos already out, because he hasn't yet been motzi the kiss, which the kiss is the kli that's holding on to the mos. And we're holding out a eged kli shmei eged. So therefore, the mos inside the kiss, as far as Hilchah Shabbos are concerned, are mechubaros to the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. They haven't yet left the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to incur a chiyuv hotzah out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But as far as kinyanim are concerned, the very moment that the coins are, shall we say, have crossed the borderline between his Rosh Hashanah Bailim and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, at that point, he did a meshicha which takes the object out of one rishus into another rishus, and he's kone bidin gneva, and that's before, prior to his violation of the iser hotzah, which will have to come later because eged kli shmei eged. So the answer is, You're right. If the ganav took this kiss that's holding on to the coins and the opening was facing towards the outside, then for sure you're right. He was chayav already on Gneva before he comes to violate these of Shabbos. Because for Shabbos, we got this eged kli. But Hochamai is keen on, the Bryce is talking about the following scenario. The afke derech shulav. In other words, when he was carrying the kiss, he had turned the kiss, the opening of the kiss of this pocketbook towards the inside. In other words, adayim b'soch habayis. So that if the mos would fall out, they would go back into the bayis. It came in shebechutz, eino yochel litos hamos hayotzos. In other words, even if he was positioning himself outside of the house of the nignav, outside in the public domain, he would not be able to take the mos until he takes the entire kiss out into the public domain. So he hasn't made a kinyan here, even if some of the coins are on their way out, but it doesn't matter. The Yitzias HaKiss is going to make it possible to facilitate his ability to get the mos, because the opening of the kiss is facing inwardly. So let's just summarize. The Gemara is now telling us that Enochinami, if the purse was taken out by the Ganov, out of the base pilot, by its mouth, by its opening, then Enochinami, you'd be correct, because the Chiyuv Gneva would be incurred first. But Hochamai Eskina, and here's where the thief took out the purse from the underside. So it all boils down to this question as to where the opening of the kiss is facing. And just to flesh it out a little bit further, we're saying the following. Meshicha is complete when the Chefetz HaNignav enters into a new Rishus. And with regard to, let's say, Gneva of a purse, if the mouth of the purse enters into the new Rishus, therefore the coins are accessible to him. And each coin, as it passes into the public domain, clinches a Kenyan Gneva on that particular coin. Even though parts of the purse still are back in the private domain. But if, on the other hand, let's say he clutches the bottom of the purse and drags it out in that way, and the mouth of the purse was that last part of the purse to reach the new domain, and therefore the theft will only be clinched, and the Kenyan Gneva will only be clinched when the entire purse enters into the new domain. That's the first moment in time when you have access to the coins inside the purse. The Gemara now questions this. Ve'aika makom chelma. There's a bottom of the purse, a place where there's stitching, and the seams are bound together. He says in the Hebrew, b'shulei akis, on the bottom of the, yesh makom tfira shel chelke akis zelazeh, where the different parts of this pocketbook are sewn together. And the ofen sheyochol archivo below isu Torah, he could stretch out these stitchings without violating the isu Torah. And here we go on to daf tzadi beis amin aleph. The iboy mafkale v'shakil. If he wanted to, he could simply rip open the seams. And there would be no loss or hefset. And then, as the coins roll out, he could take each one of the coins. And that would be even before, the kiss has passed on in its entirety into the Shus HaRabin. So in the Hebrew, he writes in Rotze, Yochel Lekoro, with an ayin Koro, Mibli, Shein Nozek, Velito Samos Hayotzos. and therefore he's kona b'yesitziyosim. As soon as the coins cross the boundary line into Rishus HaRabim, he makes a kinyan of Shini Rishus. So back to a question on Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a chibur through the kli, and that's considered a chibur. So he wouldn't be chayef from Aleches Hotzah Shabbos until the entire kiss is out there in Rishus HaYochid. So the Isur Geneva is going to be chal before the Isur Shabbos, and therefore he should be chayef for both. And the Braisa says that he's potter from Tashluvin on the Geneva. And the Gemara answers, Ben Naska, the Braisa that says he's potter from Tashluvin when he's dragging the kiss is talking about a case of a naska, which is a kiss malei bechatichot kesef aruchot. So it's filled not with coins, but with silver bars that span the full length of the purse. And therefore, ein hotzah osam dishlemes, the hotzah is not complete, ad sheyotzias hakis kulo. And kolz man shechelko bifnim, lo kona osam. And therefore, if he hasn't made a kinyan, as long as the kiss is inside, and this is true according to everybody, then the Isur Geneva and the Isur Shabbos are simultaneous. The Gemara is upset. Why? The Keva de Ika Shnotzin is Mapikle ad Pume Vishari Vishakil Ushnotzin Agidi Migavoy. So he defines Shnitzin as Ritzuos Kshira, meaning drawstrings, and those are connected to the purse, to the pocketbook. And therefore, we would say that on Shabbos, the transfer is not complete until the drawstring actually arrives in the new domain. And mapikle ad pume, or yochala hotzi asakis kulo ad pischo. So he has no problem if he simply wants to take the purse out until its mouth crosses over into Rishus HaRabim. And Vishakil, Vishari Vishakil. Now, then he can open up the opening of the purse and take the Chatichos Kesef, those were the silver bars that we spoke about, the Naska. So since he has the ability to do so, he already has a kinyan. And Ushnotzin Agidi Mikavoy, right? These ritsuos, these drawstrings, are connected, bound on the inside. Adayin Mechuboros Lifnim, and Kevin Shalo Yotze, they haven't gone out yet. Is Mimelo Rabbi Yochanan, Shezen Ekshav Chibur, Adayin Enochai Mishum Hotza Shavis, Shalo Nigmar Malachto. Is once again, why does the Braisa say that Megar Kis Umotzi is Potem Tashlum, and the Chiyuv of Hotzah and the Chiyuv of Gneva are simultaneous? And the more answer is the Lekka Shnitzin, that we're talking about a particular kind of a purse that doesn't have a drawstring. Ein La Kis Ritzuos. Lachain, therefore, Einu Chayv Al Gneva Konim Sheyavor Al Hotzah B'Shab. So he won't be Chayv for Mashiach of Gneva until he passes over into Rishus HaRabim, at which time simultaneously violates Hotzah Shab. Zibayis Ema. Another answer is the Islay. It does have these Ritzuos, these Shnitzin, but Mekarchi Iluye. They are wrapped around. And that means he is unable to drag the purse, and therefore ein ofen sheyotza kula below ritzuos. There's no way that he can get it out there without the drawstrings, the ritzuos, and therefore be yitziyaso when he goes out. He has when the entire purse goes out, then he has an overlap of both the Isur Geneva and the Isur Shabbos. Therefore, he's potter midin kimlein rabbi. Chen omer Rava. Rava says the same thing, like Chizkiah. Lo shonu in our Mishnah, in the case of Kupa, which is Malaya Peros, and he places down on the Eskupa, Even though most of the fruits are already outside, he's potter. And she yotzi es kol hakupa, until he removes the entire kupa. Ella bekupa malea kishuim v'dluyim. In other words, when do we apply this principle that he has to remove the entire kupa from one mishusa to the other? That's only in the case of kishuim v'dluyim that are very long, and they fill up the entire width of this kupa, and until he takes the kupa out to mishusa rabim, even the contents, the kishuim v'dluyim, are not out there in mishusa rabim. Avol malea chardol, in the case of mustard seeds, there he's chayef, even though part of the kupa is still inside, but these mustard seeds are on the outside. Alma kasavi holds like Chizkia that eged kli lo shmei eged, and therefore whatever garinim, whatever seeds have gone out into Shusha Rabim, he is chayef otsa on those seeds. It's only in the case of kishuim and tluyim, where there's a chibur to Rishus HaYachid, because they're so long, then he's not going to be chayef otsa. Abai Omar, Abai disagrees, and he holds hafilu malea chardel, even in the case where the kupa is full of mustard seeds, potter, alma kasover egej kli shmei eged. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that since the kli itself is still partially in Rishus HaYachid, and these mustard seeds are inside the kli, it's considered as if they have not yet left the Rishus HaYachid, because the chibur to the kli brings them back, so to speak, to Rishus HaYachid, lo yotza kulo Rishus HaRam, and therefore he's pot. The Gemara quotes that Abai Varava actually changed their positions, they rescinded, and they swapped them. Kama Abai b'shitasei de Rava. Ultimately, Abai accepts the sheet of Rava, that chibur al yidei kli is not considered a chibur, and kam Rava b'shitasei de Abaye, and Rava is convinced that Abai is correct, and the chibur al yidei kli, that's considered a chibur. And the Gemara asks, Urami Abai ad Abai, Rami Rava de Rava. We have a contradiction within Abai's two statements, and within Rava's two statements. The Itmar, we learned that Amotzi Peros B'Shabbos B'Shus HaYochid B'Shus HaRabim is the Machlokas Abai V'Rava. Abai Omar, if the Peros were taken out by hand B'Yad L'Shus HaRabim Af Shegufo B'Shus HaYochid Chayef, even though his body is still standing in Rishus HaYochid and he just stretched out his arm out into Rishus HaRabim, that's called Hotzos HaPeros, because the chibur to the guf is not called chibur, and the fruits are considered as separate items. So we see that he already took out into Rishus HaRabim, and if these peros were in a kli, then he's potter. Why? Because he hasn't taken the kli out, only part of it, and part of it is still in Rishus HaYochid, therefore, even though the peros is already outside of Rishus HaRabim, he's potter, because chibur al yidei kli nechshav l'chibur. So chibur al yidei gufo eino chibur, but chibur al yidei kli is called a chibur. So therefore, the case of his guf, he's going to be chayev, in the case of the kli, he'll be potter. Rava omer lehepach, exactly opposite. If he took the peros out biyad, and his guf is in Rishus HaYochid potter, because chibur al yidei guf nechshav chibur, but the kli, when part of the peros go outside Rishus HaRabim, the rest are in the kli, and the kli itself is miktsas of Rishus HaYochid chayev, because chibur al yidei kli eino chibur. So both Abai v'Rava contradicting themselves, their own shitos, after they made this chiluf. And the Gemara answers epoch, that in this machlokus about taking peros out into Rishus HaRabim and miktsas hayad or akli nishar bifnim, is we have to switch around the shitos. Abai omar biyad potur ubekli chayov. And the reason why in the case of Kli, he's Chayav, is because Abai ultimately accepted the Shita of Rava. That means that Eged Kli, Lav Shmei Eged, but on the other hand, the Yad is Mechubra to the Guf, and Chibra Yidei HaGuf, Shmei Chibur. And Rav is going to say that Biyad is Chayav and Kli is Potter, because Chibra Yidei Gufo is not considered a Chibur, but Chibra Yidei Yad, Yidei Kli, excuse me, is considered a Chibur. So Gemara asks a kasha now, could we really say that if a person takes out peros and they're still in his hand, he's going to be Chayav, simply because we ignore the fact that his Guf is still back in Rishus HaYochid, he's standing in Rishus HaYochid with his arms stretched out into Rishus HaRav. What's not? What about the Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta? Poshat, Baal HaBayis. So the Baal HaBayis is standing in the Rishus HaYochid, and he stretches out his arm, as Yodo Lechutz, outside into Rishus HaRav, and Vinotala Oni Mitocha, and the Oni takes it out of his hand. And the Mishnah says that if the Ani takes it out of his hands and puts it down in the Rishus HaRabim, or alternatively, Nasan, the Ani is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and he puts his arm into the Rishus of the Baal HaBayis, Litocha, into the hand, I should say, of the Baal HaBayis. And where is the hand of the Baal HaBayis? The hand of the Baal HaBayis is stretched out from the Rishus HaYochid out into Rishus HaRav. And now the Ani puts the object into the hand, the outstretched hand of the Baal HaBayis, Yishneim Peturim, because no one did a complete malach, what we call a Hotzah Shlema, of both Akira and Hanocha. In the first case, the Baal HaBayis did the Akira from Rishus HaYochid. He never put down the Chefetz in Rishus HaRabim. And the Ani that puts it down into Rishus HaRabim, he never picked it up. So he didn't have an Akira, he only had a Hanocha. And in the second case, the Ani did his Akira from Rishus HaRabim, but he never put it down in Rishus HaYochid. It was the Baal HaBayis who put it down in Rishus HaYochid. So in both of these cases, you don't have one individual, the Baal HaBayis or the Ani, who implemented both the Akira and the Hanocha. So we see from this Mishnah that when a person takes out something, carries out something, biyado, from the Rishus where his Guf is standing, unless he puts the Chefetz down, he's going to be Potter. So the premise is that in the first case, where the Baal HaBayis extends his hand and he's got something in his hand out to Rishus HaRabim, the Mishnah says he's exempt. Why? Because his body remains back in the Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara answers that this is not really the case. Why? The reason why the Baal HaBayis is Potter is Hasam Lamala Mishlosha, because the Baal HaBayis' hand is above three tefachim from the ground. And therefore he's potter, because he never actually did a hanocha such that the object would rest in the Rishus HaRab. But Hachin Rava's case, Lamata Mishlosha, when the person's hand was below three tefachim from the ground, and that's considered legally according to the law of Lavud, as if the object has come to rest in the new domain, meaning in Rishus HaRab. So lamata mishlosha tefachim karka nechshav sheinicham al gabi karka. It's like the karka goes up three tefachim. So he was okir from Rishus HaYochid, and he put it down in Rishus HaRabim, and he did a full-fledged melechas hotzah. And if he holds a chibur, the Rishus HaYochid al yidei gufo eino chibur, is therefore he was motzi legamri Rishus HaRabim, and that's why he's chayv. And this leads us to the Mishnah on the middle of Daf Tzadi Beis Amid Alf. This Mishnah is going to teach that according to the Melacha D'Oraisa, you're not chayav for carrying an object from one Rishus to another unless he does it kiderech hotzah. Hamotzi, if he takes on Shabbos something from Rishus Aram Rishus HaYochid, vice versa, bein b'yamino, bein b'smolo, whether he carries it with his right hand or his left hand, or b'tocheiko, or he puts it into his chest. And this is the way people will carry things from one place to another. Oh, al kseifav. Let's say he's carrying something on his shoulders. Chayav. In all these cases, that's considered kedarko, and he's chayav for violating Melech HaShabbos. Shekein hamasa b'nei kahos. In other words, the b'nei kahos who were carrying in the masos during the people the midbar period of time, b'nei Yisrael were moving from place to place, and the b'nei kahos would put on their ksefayim, on their shoulders. That's called an avoda. Pasuk says, "U'bnei kahos lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem." We've already discussed the shiurim, the minimum quantity that you have to take out into Rosh Hashanah for Melech HaSotzah. We already spoke about the different Rishuyos, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Makom Ptur. Now we want to talk about the way he carries it. Hamotzi bein b'yamino bein b'smolo, whether he carries it with his right hand or his left hand, obetoch cheko, or he keeps it in his chest. These are all considered derech hotzah. O al kseifav, or if he carries something on his shoulders, that's also chayev. Shekein hamasa. I'll give you a proof that we considered a valid way of carrying something on your shoulders in the case of B'nai Kahos. And during the masos of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, from journeying from Machna, from camp to camp, they were in charge of carrying the Mishkan on their shoulders. As it says in the Pasuk, V'livnei kahos lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bakotev yiso. They carried it on their shoulders. And we're talking about the B'nai Kahos, and the Torah specifically earmarks them for this responsibility of transporting the tabernacles. And there were three families amongst the Levim. One family was in charge of carrying the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbechos, and that was all given over to the Mishpach of Kahos. Other parts of the Mishkan were carried on Agolos, and those were objects that had a greater Kedusha, and they all had to be carried on the Levim's shoulders. Anyway, we see the carrying on the shoulders is a valid method of transport. Now, in the case of right hand or left hand, or in one's chest, that doesn't require any psukim to prove, because this is known to be means of transporting objects. But in the case of carrying them on the shoulders, that's a little bit less common, and therefore one might have thought in the Havabina that maybe this is called Shalok Keder Chotzah. The Tana has to prove his point by referring to a posuk that carrying on the shoulders is certainly normal, certainly normative. Now the Mishnah goes on and asks about cases that are really unusual. For example, kil achar yad. You know, he carries something maybe on the back of his hand, which is really indicative of a category of unusual ways of carrying something. I mean, the question is going to be, what if you carry it on your head? Now, kilachiyad literally means backhandedly, and it's a specific example of an unusual carrying, and it's used as a generic term for anything that's done in an unusual way. That's called kilachiyad, like in the back of his hand. Now we have another case of an unusual carrying, and that is biraglo. He carries it with his foot, or befiv. He carries it with his mouth. Again, when it comes to food, we're going to see that you're chayev for carrying food in your mouth, but we're talking about other non-food items. Ubi marpeko. Marpek is the armpit. So let's say he carries something in the crook of his arm, inside his elbow. I mean, this is something that you've seen, but it's unusual. Or bi'azno, he carries something with his ear, or inside his ear. Ubisaro, inside his hair. Ubifundaso, ubipia lemata. We're talking about a money belt, and its opening is hanging downwards. And that's unusual. And finally, we have the case of Bein Pundaso Lechaluko Bisfas Chaluko Minolo Ubisandolo Potter Shlo Hotzi Keder Hamotzim. So we have a case here with, where he carries something between his money belt and his shirt, or in the hem of his cloak, or in his shoe or in his sandal. All these are unusual manners of carrying, and therefore he's potter. Shalo kederech hotza. These are all unusual ways of carrying things, in his hair, in his money belt, with the opening hanging downward, or he pushes it in between his money belt and his shirt. Sfas chaluka, the hem of his cloak. And binolo, and he stuffs things in his shoes. That's all shalo kederech hamotzim, and therefore he's potter. Now, in the case of foods, we mentioned earlier that you do carry foods in your mouth, but we're talking about non-foods. Marpeko, according to Tosfos, is his elbow. So he puts it inside his elbow. And fundoso, Rashi says, is a hollow belt. Other Rishonim say that money was placed in a belt, which would then be knotted. And this end of the belt, even when it's knotted, would simply usually hang downwards because money, you know, the tendency of the knot is to become undone, causing the money to fall out. So that end was usually fastened to his waist. If he didn't wear the belt in this usual manner, then he allowed the end to hang out freely. He's not chayfo tsa. And if he drapes over the money belt something partly between the belt and the shirt, partly outside the belt, then the object transported in this manner would not be secure. The weight would shift, and it would cause an unbalancing of the object. People don't carry in this way. Now, a chaluk is a long tunic that extends all the way down to the ankles. And the lower hem of the garment is really not close to his hand, it's all the way on the bottom. It's not easy to tap the hem to see whether the articles are secure. And the garment sometimes drags, and there's caused the stitching of the bottom of the hem to be undone. So it's not common to transport items in hems. And we're up to the Gemara itself. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Hamotzi Masui Lemala Me'asar Tfachim Chayav. If he transports a load from one rishus to another by hand, if it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground, he's chayev. In other words, he walks from one rishus to the other, he carries an object in his hand, and an elevation, a gova of over 10 tefachim above the ground. Then he arrives in that second rishus. He doesn't set the item on the ground, but rather he stands in a place, stood straight in his place, he continues to hold the item high in the air above 10 tefachim. And in such a case, according to Rabbi Lazar, he's chayav. Why? Shekein masa b'nei kahos. That was the way that the b'nei kahos of the Levim would carry things. And we're going to talk about masa b'nei kahos minolan. How do we know that this was the method of the b'nei kahos carrying things? And we're going to have to derive that from a pasuk. Let's just mention the Ritva. He says that a person who carries something for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and he holds the item above 10 Tfachim, and then he physically sets the item down on the ground, Rashi says the Gemara cannot be speaking of a situation where the item was held aloft and was carried on the person's shoulder, because we know that one is chayev in that case. Our Mishnah explicitly says that one's liable for carrying on his shoulders. And therefore, let's assume that we're speaking about a case where the person carries the item in his hand. And the Gemara we'll see is going to point out that his chiyuv for carrying in his hand is going to be deduced from the case of carrying it by his shoulder. If carrying by hand is a more common way of shoulder, then we have a kal vachomer. If he's chayuv for carrying something on his shoulder above 10 tefachim, then for sure he's going to be carrying for chayuv for carrying something by his hand above 10 tefachim. Now, in terms of the B'nai Kahas, the family of Kahas, they carried certain vessels of the Mishkan, and they transported them at a height of more than 10 tefachim above the ground, and the Gemara is going to prove this. So therefore, one is chayav for carrying in this way, because we learn all the malachas from the Mishkan. Now this is a chiddush, because generally, the airspace of a public Rishus HaRabim goes up to 10 tefachim and beyond, above 10 tefachim. That's called a makom patur. So for example, if you would throw something into a public domain and it lands on, let's say, smack up against, and it sticks against the side of a wall which is 10 tefachim above the ground, he would be potter. That's a mishnah later on. The Algemar is teaching us that if the item is being carried, not thrown, then this restriction no longer applies. That when a person comes to a halt in a public domain, he's liable, even though the physical object is above 10 tefachim. Because the person's body, when it comes to rest in a Rishus HaRabim, and his feet are firmly, you know, standing on the ground, then we consider as if the Heftzah that's in his hand came to rest in that domain. Even though the object, if we would identify it on its own, would be seen as being above a Rishus HaRabim. And the pasuk is the Chsiv, and we see in Parsh, in Bamidbar, it says, Al HaMishkan V'Al HaMizbeach Saviv. So we're talking about the curtains of the courtyard that surrounded the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, and there's a hekesh in this pasuk between the Mishkan and the Mizbeach. Ma Mishkan Eser Amos, just like the Mishkan was 10 Amos high, Af Mizbeach Eser Amos. And the Mizbeach was also 10 Amos high. Now, the Gemara is going to sort of take a little bit of a digression over here about the height of the Mishkan. Mishkan Gufe Minolan, how do we know that the Mishkan was 10 Amos high? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, and it's pretty outspoken here in Shmos, it says, Eser Amos Orech HaKeresh, that the length of each one of the Kroshim was 10 Amos. And when you stand up the Kroshim vertically, then it means that the Mishkan was at least 10 Amos high. Now getting back to our discussion, if we've established that when the Levium transported the Kalim of the Mishkan, it was at a height of the Levium. Uksiv, and it says Vayfros Es HaOel Al HaMishkan, and that's also in Shmos. It says that he spread the tent over the tabernacle, over the Mishkan. So in other words, the Mishkan had many covers, different covers. They were placed one on top of the other. And this pasuk is telling us that when Moshe established the Mishkan, he spread the second cover, which is called the tent, or Oel, over the first cover, which is simply known as the Mishkan. Mikanat Olamed, Govan Shalavim Eser Amos. In other words, Moshe must have been as tall as the Mishkan in order to spread out the cover, the oil, over the Mishkan to arrange its coverings. And Moshe was a Levi, and we assume that he would be representative of the Levium. If Moshe was exceptionally tall, 10 amos, so the Levium would also, when they carried the Mizbeach and other Kalim, they were also very tall. Now, the Gemara is going to take all this information and calculate how much of a clearance there was between the ground and the Mizbeach when the Mizbeach was carried on the shoulders of the Levium. Ugmiri, dechol tuna demidle bimotos. We have a tradition that any load that is carried with poles, for example, the Mizbeach and many other of the Keli HaMishkan were carried with removable poles that made it easier to transport them. These poles were inserted into taba'os, into rings that were built on the sides of the Mizbeach. Is Tilsa Mili'el Usrei Tilsei Militachas. The positioning was such that one third of the bulk is above the shoulders of the one who carried it. Two-thirds is below their shoulders. And it seems that this is well known. This is how people in general use poles when they carry things. Now, if we apply this to the Klei HaMishkan, it means that the rings into which the poles were placed would have been situated two-thirds the way up the Kli, the vessel, in the case of the altar, which would mean that the rings would have been 6 2/3 amos above the Yesod HaMizbeach, above the base of the altar. And again, the full height of the Levium was 10 amos. The distance between their shoulders and the ground would have been something less than that. And Ishtakach Davi Midli Tuva. In other words, it means that the Mizbeach was elevated well above of 10 tefachim from the ground. And that supports our idea that one who carries at this height is chayav. Iboy Seva, perhaps we don't have to learn it from the Bnei Kahas who carried the Mizbeach more than 10 tefachim above the ground, but me Aron. The Omer Mar, Aron Tisha, the Aron itself was 9 tefachim tall, and that's Mefurish in the Pasuk. And Kapores Tefach, the covering on top of the Aron was 1 Tefach, Arekana Sara. So we have here 10 Tefachim of height, Ugmiri, and we have a tradition that Kol Tuna Demidli Bimotos, as we said earlier, loads that are carried by poles, is Tilsa Mili El Utre Tilsa Mili Ra. One third of the bulk is above the shoulders, two thirds is below the shoulders. So when the Levium were carrying the Aron, 6 2/3 tefachim of the height would hang below their shoulders. That would leave a gap between the bottom of the Aron and the surface of the ground. Yishtachet ulamala me'asar avikoi. So therefore we understand that the Aron was more than 10 tefachim above the ground, and that again supports Rabbi Elazar's position that one who carries above 10 tefachim is chayav. So Gemara asks, "V'ligmar mi Moshe?" Why don't we derive the same conclusion from Moshe Rabbeinu as we do from the Levium who carry the Mizbeach? Why is it necessary to add that we can learn it from the way they carried the Aron? And the Gemara says, "Dilma Moshe Shani." Moshe is different. He was taller than the rest of the Levium. The Omer Mar, "Ein Hashchina Shora El Al Chacham Gibor Asher Valkoma." So these are the four conditions for the Ashras Hashchina. One of them is Baal Koma, so it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu was taller than the rest of the Levium. He was a Baal Koma. Now the Mishnah gave us a whole list of carrying things that are considered Keder Chotzah, others that are considered Shalom Keder Chotzah. Now let's go beyond the Mishnah. Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Hamotzi Masoi B'Shabbos Al Rosha. What about he carries it over his head, like we'll see the Bedouin women who carry things on their head. Chayv Chatos, that's considered Kidera Chotzah. And why? Shekein Anshe Hutzal Osim Kein. This is the regular, normal way of carrying things in a place called Hutzal. So that's not shalokidarka. And they used to put jugs of water or jugs of wine, balancing them on their heads. Anshe hutzal ruba di alma. Why do we determine what's common for carrying based on anshe hutzal? Maybe there it's considered normal, but for us it's not considered normal. We don't carry it that way. So we cannot set up a normative manner of carrying something based on a small minority of the people and say it's routine for everybody else. It's routine for them, but not for us. So the Gemara accepts this kasha, and therefore rejects Rav in its form as we have it. Eliyitmar Hachim, we restate the statement of Rav in the name of Rabbi Chia, and that is Echad Mivnei Hutzal Shahotzi Masi Al Rishon Al Rosho B'Shabes Chayev. If a member of this community, where it's normative to carry it on his head, he carries it on his head on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayv Shekein Bnei Iro Osekein, the people of his city, will do this as a matter of course. So the Gemara asks, what we have a general principle in Shas called Butler Daitotzel Kolod, he Butler Daitotzel Kolodim. We don't look at the individual. If he does something unusual, we look at the majority and the way that it's considered Kederachotza. And at this point, again, the Gemara has to backtrack and reformulate the statement of Rav. Eli Itmar, Hachi Itmar. We have to reformulate. Hamotzi Masu Al Rosho Potur, if he carries something on his head, that's considered Shalo Kiderech Hotza, and that applies even to someone who is a local Hutzal guy. And here we turn to Daf Tzadi Beis, Amid Beis. Just 1 second, I'm sorry. I meant to. This figure's caught this. Ugmiri Dechol. Just 1 second. Oh, got to turn the right page. Yeah. Here it is. V'imtim Salom Anshi Hutzal Osin Kenim. If you'll ask the question, well, what about the Anshi Hutzal? Is Butler Daita Etzel Kolodom? That particular way of doing it is completely invalidated by the way that we commonly do Hotzah. Now we're up to the Mishnah on the top of Daf Tzadi Beis, Amid Beis, so we'll pick that up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.